today on Real Radio.
Then you have a boy who you say, don't cross this line. Yes, sir. I'll never do that. You mean what? What line? This line? Yeah, this line. Now don't get near it. Just leave it alone. Just get away from there. You mean this line right here? This is, Dad, is this the line you told me not to cross? Yeah, this line. Really? That's transgression.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Now in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is challenged once again by the chief priests and elders of the people. He delivers a scathing revelation to them about others who will enter the kingdom of God before they do. And he does it with yet another parable. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Two Sons.
Matthew 21, as we continue, in fact, we'll be wrapping up in the next week or so, the end of our parable series. And tonight we're in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, in the parable of the two sons. The parable of the two sons. And this parable not only is about knowing God's will, it's a parable about knowing God's will and doing God's will. It's not good enough, friends, listen, to know God's will. If you know God's will and you don't do God's will, it's worse, Jesus said, to not know it. Doesn't the Bible say, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. If you know, man, look at us as Americans. We know so much, we have so much, and God says, great, but with that, I require of you great exercise based upon what you know and great engagement based upon what you have. All these things come with a sense of profound responsibility to God. Knowing God's will, though, isn't the same as doing it. And God wants us to do His will. And so tonight is a parable about two boys, two young men, and the context or the theater of knowing God's will. And to better understand this parable, we need to ask a question as to whom is Jesus speaking to in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to breeze through something quickly just for your mind's sake and for the context. I want you to know this. I want you to get this. It's important for you to understand this. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, we see Jesus being presented as the king to the nation of Israel. So in the context of the chapter, we know now it's Jesus' last week on earth. This is the Palm Sunday day, verses 1 to 11. And Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's being hailed as king. It's the presentation of the king, King Jesus, to the nation. And in verses 12 to 17, we see the purification of King Jesus. That is, all week long during Passion Week, Jesus is being examined and tried by the Pharisees, questions and riddles and accusations. What's really happening is the Lamb of God is being inspected by the Jewish priesthood. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but Jesus' last week on earth, he's being attacked by his critics. They're trying to find fault with him. They're trying to catch him in traps. They're trying to catch him in scandal. None of it works. Why did that happen on Jesus' last week of life on earth? Because that week, at the end, the Passover lambs were to be offered up. Remember that? And then ultimately the Passover lamb in the Holy of Holies at the temple. But we know who the real lamb was, don't we? It was Jesus Christ. And he's being examined by the priesthood. So he's being attacked. Keep that in mind. And then in verses 18 to 22, we see the authority of Jesus being questioned. In fact, he speaks to them about the fig tree, which every Jew knows is a symbol of Israel, the fig tree. And he's speaking about Israel. They had all the history with God. They had the location that God had determined. They had the look, that is, they were religiously dressed up. They had the book. And Jesus makes the reference to them being a fig tree. And so they even had all the leaves, so to speak. They had the branches. They had the look. But they didn't have any fruit. And in verses 23 to 27 in this chapter, we see the king being challenged. They're challenging him profoundly. And now we come to the parable of the king. So Bible students, mark this down. The context, that is the chapter, explains why Jesus goes to this parable, the parable of the two sons. It's critical. And now you guys are Bible experts on this. This is awesome. Matthew 21, 28. Jesus said to this audience of scribes and Pharisees, biblical lawyers, they're not lawyers like attorneys, they're lawyers, meaning they're experts in the law of Moses. He turns to them and says, but what do you think? I want you to mark that. I'm going to ask you that at the end of this message. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, or forget you. But afterwards, he, the son, regretted it and went. Verse 30, then he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. So apparent compliance, but he didn't go. He said one thing, but he did another. Verse 31, Jesus asked them, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, are the religious leaders of Israel. So note this, they know the truth. The first, and Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter or will enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, John the Baptist, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, that is the salvation of those sinners, notorious sinners, you did not afterward relent and believe him. This is an awesome indictment by Jesus himself against the religious leaders. But the story's bigger than that. It deals with the religious leaders of Israel, those who were privy to the word of God, and your run-of-the-mill sinner, your run-of-the-mill tax collector or harlot. And in all fairness, I need to tell you, the word harlot means what you think, harlotry, but it's broader than that. Harlot also meaning all those who were involved in pagan worship. The Bible refers to them as being those involved in spiritual adultery or harlotry. So it's not only sexual immorality, but it's also those who are involved in spiritual immorality, which is interesting study all in its own. So listen, the context defines this. One young man in the story, in the parable, says that I will not go. I will not obey you, Father. I will not listen. So this son, typologically in the parable, is saying to God the Father, as it were, typologically, no. I initially know who you are. I know what you're requesting. Listen, because we've all, listen, can you guys hear me? Every one of us is like the first son. We all, at some point in time, when we heard the gospel, first said, no. This boy says, no, 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 I will not. And then as he goes his way, he relents. Notice the word's not repent. Now, the old King James, I think, in your Bible has the word repent. It's not the Greek word metanoia. It's metalomai, and it's a different word. Meta meaning after. Metanoia means to rethink and change your course. But this word means to rethink and to have a change of mind, regret, sorry, I shouldn't have done this. So it's not so much, listen, it's not so much a word of repentance. Listen, everybody, it is a parable of salvation. And repentance isn't mentioned, technically, because repentance is implied. The young man says, no way! Did you ever say that to Christians before you were a Christian? Get out of my face, you Jesus freak. I didn't do that because I'm nicer than all of you people. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that because I'd never heard the gospel. I'd never heard the gospel before. And so when I heard it, it freaked me out. I thought, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. And boy, am I in trouble, and I need it. I mean, I knew in an instant I was in trouble. I mean, I was doing pretty much all those sins that pastor had listed that night in his sermon. I was convicted. But for some of you, you may have said, no, no, I don't want to know about God. Get out of my face. Maybe you're here tonight. Your friend invited you. And you're saying, look, if I go, will you never ask me about God again? If I go tonight, will you leave me alone? Just know this. Tonight's all for you. Jesus said, hey, here's the deal. There's a guy in the parable of the story, when the father reaches out, this kid says, no, and walks away. But then he starts thinking, I don't know if that was right. I tell you what, I'm gonna go do what he said. Isn't that interesting? Now, listen, in the parable, that is sin, isn't it? He did tell the father, no, that's disrespect, that's sin, right? Sin. So mark this down, Bible students. You've got one guy who is the first son, and he says no, but then he goes and does the right thing because he had a change of mind. Okay, then the second son we know here, he says, I will go. These guys are the worst. This guy says, I will go. So now the father is under the delusion that the son is doing the right thing. Are you with me? So imagine that. All right, good. Thank you. I knew I could count on you. By the way, what is also implied but not mentioned is the first son in the Jewish culture, the father would have asked the younger son to go do the menial labor. He says, no, get out. He's the spoiled guy. Yeah, little brat. Maybe he's had everything handed to him. He's a little stinker, entitled little person. And he says, no, but he has a change of mind. The older son is the one who says, yes, sir. He's used to saying yes. Yes, yes, sir. I go, sir. Notice that. Very, very, yes. Yes, father, sir. You got it, dad. You can always count on me. And what does he do? He does not do what he tells his father he's going to do. Now watch this. One, the first boy, sins. That's sin. He sinned, right? Listen, don't be afraid. Go ahead and answer. I want to hear you anyway. So don't be afraid. Did the second son sin, or was it worse than sin? Very good. I'm so impressed. You're right. The first boy sinned, and the second boy sinned a sin that's worse. It's called transgression. To sin is to get busy and forget, and you cross the line, and then you realize, you know, it's kind of like your dad says, don't cross this line. And you go, okay. And you're playing life, you're doing stuff and all this. You know, we've all had kids. It's all, don't go in the street. But they're playing kickball in the front yard, and the ball goes out. They're caught up in it, all right? And the kid runs out on the street and gets the ball, and you see him, and you go, what are you doing? And you change his mind for him. You apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge so he won't do that again. You love him. And then you have a boy who you say, don't cross this line. Yes, sir. Well, I'll never do that. You mean what? What line? This line? Yeah, this line. Now, don't get near it. Just leave it alone. Just get away from there. You mean this line right here? Dad, is this the line you told me not to cross? Yeah, this line. Really? That's transgression. Do you know something regarding God's will that God says, don't do this? Do you know it? I mean, don't say anything. I'm just, think for a moment. We all know something. God says, don't do this. I've revealed it in my word. Listen, you want to know God's will? Know his word. Listen, this is his will. This is his will. So God says, for example, don't covet other people's stuff. Now, listen, last Sunday, I have to explain this because some of you drove by me and I'm wondering what you're thinking. Why? A friend of mine came from Huntington Beach, great brother, loves the Lord, super blessed, and he came to service and he just bought a brand new, did you see it? You did? Oh. He just bought a brand new, totally decked out 2015 Corvette. Now, I don't know if you've seen those, but they're so amazing that Ferraris and Porsches won't even get near them. They just turn away in shame. And he says to me, you want to drive it? And I said, no, I can't drive it around here. Somebody will see me, and the next thing you know, it'll be Twittered, and no, I can't do it. So we're out here in the church parking lot after third service, and we're looking at it, and I'm standing by it looking like I'm going to get in it. And people were driving by looking, and they're like this. thinking our pastor has completely bit the dust. It's over for him. He's gone the way of, next we'll see him on TBN, you know, and it wasn't my car. It was my friend's car. I didn't drive it. I'm going to go to his house in Huntington to drive it. But I have a Ford truck, okay? That's what I have. And a 67 Volkswagen. And so that's my cars. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I have to tell you, I'm looking at that thing thinking, oh man, this car was designed probably by the Lord for Coast Highway. And so, you know, you look at that and it's like, man, and then you turn it on and all the displays on the windshield in the glass. Oh, yes. I'm convinced you press a button and missiles come out somewhere, right? Anyway, it's amazing. What's my point? God says, don't covet. And I had to realize, I had to stop. I didn't tell him this, but I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. And I just say, Lord, you just have to get this out of my head. God says, don't covet. Now, listen. If you know the Bible says thou shalt not, by the way, that's what the law is all about. Thou shalt not covet. God's not a bummer. He's trying to keep you from getting killed. He said, man, yeah, I'd really like to have that person's house, that person's car, that person's shoes, that person's, I don't know, nose. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, God says, don't do that. If you pursue it, you are not sinning. It's worse than that. You're transgressing. You didn't fall across the line because you're trying to catch the ball. You went, yeah, I know you say thou shalt not covet, but man, this is cool. And boom, you're with me. This son has said he'll do something and he doesn't do it. And the important thing about this is our words matter. But listen, everybody, we all know words matter. The Bible tells us that out of our mouth should be things that come forth that lift people up. As a Christian, people should know that you and I have been in their presence, not because of our greatness. We don't have any, but because of his righteousness that comes out of our lives. Because you're a Christian, people should, if they're prone to like cussing stuff all the time, and you walk into the room, you ever seen relatives do this at Thanksgiving? It's awesome. You come in the room, hey, how you guys doing? It's all, you know, oh man, blank beep, and little beep, and you walk in the room and they go, Anyway, have you ever seen that happen? Yes. That's salt and light. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Words matter, but you know what matters more than words? What you do with your life, your deeds, how you live. Christian, what we say, imagine this. I've told you this before. It applies tonight. Imagine if the world and other Christians, imagine if the whole universe was deaf and they couldn't hear. Imagine nobody had any ears. How would they ever know that I'm a Christian? By my actions. This is an awesome parable announcing. There are those who say they know God all the time. We know God. Father, I know you. Yes, sir. Yep, got it. And then get up and go and never do. And as I thought about that, I found myself in studying for this, going like this in my mind to all those losers. Shame, shame, shame. Whoo, boy, thank you, God, I'm not like that. Thank you, God, I'm not like those losers. And I felt the Lord say, Jack, you know what? If you teach on a verse, let alone just know a verse, and you don't do it, great light has been given to you. Great opportunity, Jack's been given to you. And if you don't do it, you're just like that son who lied to his father in the parable. You knew, but you didn't do. And you imagine in your life, in your life circle and influence where God is, where God sends you every day, do people know that we're Christians by our actions? Forget the words. Christian, listen. Stop listening to people. Watch them. Watch them. I want to, in fact, I wrote this down. I don't even have to look at my notes because I remember it so clearly. It goes without saying, and especially in light of what I just shared with you a moment ago about that car. It was kind of a joking, funny thing, but you know what? For all of us as believers, we should be able to invite the world and even other Christians to judge us. Did you hear what I just said? I don't know if you'll ever hear this again or if it's a very popular thing to say at all, but let's just shatter that ceiling right now and say, as a Christian, you should be able to judge me at all times. So I can't believe he said that. Thou shalt not judge. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says thou shalt not condemn. But you should be able to look at everything of my life. And same for those sitting around you and around me. Why? I think if you live like that, it'd be a healthy, good thing, because you know what? It will keep you from getting a little sloppy. If I was sloppy, I'm not saying I'm totally not sloppy. If I was totally not sloppy, I wouldn't have stood next to that guy's car. But think about it. If I would have been sloppy, I would have gotten in his car and drove it around town. Woo-woo! Right? And I could have said, if somebody sees me and thinks it's my car, that's their problem. Really? I could never do that. At least I say now I could. I hope I never backslide. You'll know if I'm backslid and I'll drive around town in his car. But I can't do that. Are you with me? Do you understand? When we name the name of the Lord, the Bible says, then we should depart from sin. And why? Because he loves us and he wants us to live. Our actions definitely, you guys, speak. And when the young man says, I'm going to do this thing, look with me, skip down to verse 32. Jesus asked the audience, which one did the will of the Father? Which one did God's will? Is the point of the parable. Now watch this. There's individuals listening, and then there's the representatives of the nation. Are you with me? The religious leaders of Israel are there. And so Jesus asked them, which one did the will of the Father? They all answered in unison. What did they say? The first one. Stop right there. They know what's true. Do you know what's true? Do you claim to know what's true? If you know what's true, Jesus, listen, their attacks, their schemes that they were placing upon him. Look what Jesus did. Jesus turns the whole thing around on them and introduces a parable. Remember how powerful a parable is? The parabolos, to cast truth alongside their head. So here it is. Jesus takes his rod and reel with a little bobber on it and a hook, and he goes, and it's right there. And they're standing there in all of their religious pomp. I mean, it's amazing. And they look awesome. They got these incredible outfits on. They got their mitres. You know those incredible hats?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Two Sons, taken from Matthew chapter 21. The Parable of the Two Sons is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, this series called The Parables of Jesus is available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, if you enjoyed and benefited from this collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, and you want to hear them again from the beginning, they're yours on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know exactly what to do. It's real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.